Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's having a great day today. Me, not such a great day, but get through it another year. Today was my 37 years old today, and we lost her a couple of years ago, and so I would if you could add my family and her friends to your prayer list today to be for some comfort. I would appreciate that. We'll open with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, so much for this day. And that we know that you give us comfort, Lord, in these times that can be a little bit rough. Thank you, Lord, so much for all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's see if I can get through today. Got this map up here today because today we're going to talk about an incident that Peter was approached when they were in Capernaum and they were in the synagogue. And and where the temple, the temple was requesting their tribute money, and Peter is questioned about whether or not they were going to pay their temple money. And we know there's all kinds of taxes we've heard of from those time frames. So I'll just start reading here in Matthew 17, 24 through 27, a very short section. It's also in Mark. There's a similar passage in Mark. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "Why thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" So Jesus was going to make this into a little teaching lesson. And Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free?" Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take it, give unto them for me and thee. Appropriate to have the Sea of Galilee in the background there, isn't it? So over in Mark, we got a similar situation, though, where he was talking to the Pharisees. And thought I would just mention it because it's along the same lines. It's Mark 12, 13 through 17. This is when they were down in the temple, and they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees, now him being Jesus, and of the Herodians, to catch him in his words. You know, the Pharisees just love trying to catch him breaking rules when it came to certain laws that the Jews followed. Continuing on in Mark. And when they were come, they said unto him, "Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of man, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, "Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it." In some version it says denarius. I think that was the actual name of the coin of that time frame. They brought it, and he said unto them, "Whose is the image and subscription?" And they said unto him, "Caesar." And Jesus comes back. I think this is a wise, very wise answer. And Jesus answered, said unto them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. Which this whole thing kind of brought up another thought that I know some of us have had to really wrestle with here recently, particularly our friends in California. But Romans 13, so I thought I would just bring it up, because Paul also reiterates what Jesus basically said in those passages. So in Romans 13, 1, I'll just read through verse 8. Let every soul be subject unto the highest powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to them damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? In other words, even if we don't always agree with the government, that's what I get out of this verse, is that we should do good because that's what God would want us to do. And we'll let God take care of the rest. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon that very thing. Render therefore to all thy dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And it's just kind of going along with that same idea that Jesus always said to, there's other passages I could read about being a good servant to your masters. And I think the general trend of God is that we do what we're told to do within reason. Granted, I know that there's times that we need to, if the law defiles what God has told us to do, then we have to rethink. And of course, anything God tells us to do, we have to honor. So for today's prophecy lesson, I bring up Peter also reflected one more verse here in his own first letter, 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That is, encapsulates what I just said, that we're to definitely fear God and to follow his guidance, but honor the king also. We'll let God take care of the king. If he doesn't like what he's doing, then God will, that's his department. So I want to reflect back on something that, as my prophecy, I mentioned yesterday, that verse in 17:10. And I thought I'd reflect a little more on that as my prophecy moment for today. And remember in 17:10, he said, and his disciples asking him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Seriously, after I finished this last night, I actually had a conversation with somebody on Facebook about this. Actually, no, it was on a radio talk show that he felt that that this next verse was indicating that Elias should, why hasn't Elias come here? It's been 2,000 years. And so I re-looked at this verse, and if you look at 17:10 again, you'll see that the disciples were asking Jesus about Elias. And I think Jesus in verse 11 here is reflecting back that yes, you're right, that it is prophesied that Elias shall first come and restore all things. But in verse 12, Jesus changes that a bit and says, but I say unto you. Now he's saying that from himself, not necessarily from the prophets, that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And I think that in the next verse you'll see that the disciples understood what he meant. And they reflected and said, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. But also in verse 17, 12, it's not only, because we know at this point in Matthew that John the Baptist had already been beheaded. And so so that's what he meant by, but have done unto them whatsoever they listed. In other words, that he already came, they didn't know it, and they already eliminated him. So I want to reflect on that same thought in Luke 1:17. It also mentions the same thing. That Luke is mentioning the prophecy of Elias. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. As we know, that John the Baptist actually came about 6 months before Jesus' ministry started and was proclaiming that that the day of the Lord is at hand. In verse 18, we see this is where Zacharias was actually told about this. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. I really remember why I did that verse. Let me go back to 17 again. This is actually the angel that approached Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And he said, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. So this is a confirmation that the angel had told his father Zacharias that the reason for his child was going to be due to the spirit and power of Elias. And then Zacharias was questioning, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. And we know from that story that shortly after that, that Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And wonderful story of when Mary, who also got pregnant about 6 months after her, came to see her. So I want to reflect back to the Old Testament for a minute and where this prophecy was actually proclaimed and why the disciples and everyone knew that Elias was supposed to come. So in Isaiah 43 is where it's prophesied. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It still fascinates me that they had this clear prophecy from Isaiah. And the Jews of that time frame knew Isaiah very well. That was one of their main sources of biblical knowledge. And they still denied that Jesus was, they saw John the Baptist. I would assume, would think back to this verse. And then the Lord came shortly after that. And you got to wonder. Someday I would love to talk to some of these folks to find out why they didn't think that Jesus was the Messiah. Anyways, also in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, it's also prophesied that of the coming prophet. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So here again, we got the promise of Elijah coming. I see this verse as having two meanings, not only for John the Baptist, but I can also see that in Revelation, there's going to be two witnesses. And I didn't get that verse, but where the two witnesses, some believe, we have no proof of it right now, but that Elijah may be one of the two witnesses that comes. And that shortly after that is when God is going to have the finish off the tribulation, the worst part of the tribulation, in the second half of the 7 years tribulation. So that's all I had for today. And it's great, great, great things to remember. So I hope that you all have a great day. And one word of prayer. Oh, thank you, Father, for these words and for these promises. And looking forward to that day when we see the full fulfillment and we all are in your kingdom. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day so much, Lord. And thank you so much for your words of comfort. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. You all have a great day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.